Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
So I'm Ben Earl for Absolute Radio Country. I'm so excited to be chatting to the star of Landman. I've got to say, my friend Sally, she almost passed out when she found out I was interviewing you, Billy Bob. She's a huge fan. I am too. Congratulations on the new series. I mean, your character, Tommy Norris, some of the lines he has in the show, they are truly terrible, but he's so likable. And what was it like coming back to play him?
Well, it was awesome coming back. This thing, it's one of those roles that they say you're born to play or whatever, but Taylor wrote it specifically for me, so it made it easier. So it fits like a glove. And we have such a great cast with great chemistry, a great crew of people. And I think it's probably the only thing I've ever done where I haven't woken up one day and not wanted to go to work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's because Taylor Sheridan, you just mentioned, he wrote Yellowstone. People listening to the show right now. And you have a cameo in 1883, the prequel,
yes.
Which is just one of the best 5 or 6 minutes of, like, it's just the perfect cameo. I mean, was the chemistry sort of there immediately, and then he sort of gives you this role, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing this, you know?
Yes. Taylor and I knew each other a little bit before 1883, but not well at all. And once we worked together on 1883, he actually called me and he said, look, I wrote this cameo, and... Once I wrote it, I looked at it, I thought, you have to do it, meaning me. And he said, come down over the weekend. I know you're busy, but just come down on the weekend. We'll shoot it over the weekend. All you got to do is come in the saloon, shoot everybody there, and leave. And I said, all right, I'll be there. So after that, they had a premiere in Las Vegas. And afterward, there was a dinner. And it was at that dinner where Taylor said to me, I'm writing a show in your voice that I'm writing around you. He told me the world. He told me what the character was about. And I said yes before I ever looked at it.
Oh, wow.
And I've only done that twice in my career. The other time was with the Coen brothers on a movie.
And how close is the character of Tommy Norris to you? Because some of the stuff he says, I mean, there's one scene. I've got a 3-year-old daughter. There's one scene with Tommy's daughter, which... Like, I just couldn't, I mean, is it close to you in real life or?
It is.
Oh, really?
It's pretty close, yeah. I mean, when I do the scenes with Michelle Randolph, who plays Ainsley, my daughter, I have a 21-year-old daughter in college. I mean, if my daughter ever said that stuff to me, I would probably have a seizure.
Yeah. So the show is set in Texas. If anyone hasn't seen it, we're a country music station, and country music runs through the soundtrack of Landman. You've got these epic sort of sweeping landscapes, and then the soundtrack is incredible. You've got people like Lainey Wilson on there, Ella Langley, the Red Clay Strays. But you yourself have got a massive country music background.
I had four solo records that were... The first one is a little bit moodier and maybe closer to country, you know, but... After that, I did 3 other solo albums, but now I've been with the Boxmasters for 20 years, and we're a rock and roll band, you know, based on the British invasion, really. And But I did co-write 5 songs for the soundtrack album that's out now, so if you haven't heard that, Mark Colley and I, who's an old songwriter friend of mine, he and I wrote with Ronnie Dunn from Brooks and Dunn, and... Parker McCollum, Flatland Cavalry, Dwight Yoakam, who's my old best buddy.
Oh, wow.
And I got a song on there by Reverend Horton Heat that I didn't write with him, but he got one on there. And Clint Black. And this year, we're making a second soundtrack album, which I think I may have 7 co-write songs on that.
How'd
one.
How'd you find the times? You're involved in the soundtrack as well. That's crazy. Like,
yeah, I grew up in the music business. It never goes out of me all day long. I mean, I even think of movies and shows like this as rhythmic pieces. You know, I mean, editing at its best should be rhythmic.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm never too far away from music, you know.
So what do you kind of listen to in your spare time? I saw your trailer on the show, which is decked out like the most just like you're just nice, relaxing thing I've ever seen in my life. What do you listen to in there when you're just trying to relax?
I listened to a lot of a band out of England in the 60s and early 70s called Traffic.
Yeah.
I love them. I listened to the Allman Brothers. I listened to some Willie Nelson and Cream, The Birds. Those are the main things, because I have a turntable in there. So
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I urge everyone to go online and look at your trailer, because I was like, I want my house to be like this. This is so cool. With your country heritage, like I said, I mean, like, it would have been no-brainer doing this show. Did you expect it to be as well-received as this?
We expected it would be successful. Mm. We didn't know it would be this successful. Yeah. I mean, the surprise was that the coasts in the U.S. liked it, and then it became an international hit. That was really what surprised us, and pleasantly, I might say, because, you know, you always hope that you could do something that when you go in any country and see anybody, that they appreciate what you've just done, and that we can talk about it, and then we have some common ground, you know. And this show just struck a nerve with the world, and I've been in some big stuff and some iconic stuff. Mm. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like this. I mean, wow. Particularly internationally.
I mean, it's an amazing show, but it's fascinating to me because country music in the UK is the fastest growing genre.
Right.
You've got shows like Lamb Man, you've got 1883, Yellowstone. Mm. Do you think there's something kind of in the air at the moment why people internationally are just loving stuff in this world?
I think people are ready to see characters who are unabashedly who they are.
Yeah.
You know, that there's no holding back. There's they say and do everything they want. And I think people like that sometimes, because a lot of times we can't do that, you know. And I think there's a freedom in the show with all the characters that people connect to. And also we all have eccentric or dysfunctional families, or at least part of the family, something, you know. We all have that in common all around the world.
Yeah.
And I think people have really reacted to that family dynamic. And it, plus being able to look at, behind the curtain at a business we normally don't see in a cinematic way, you know.
Yeah, I find it quite liberating, a lot of stuff Tommy says. It's kind of like things you want to say but you would never say.
Right.
It's interesting as well to me, you mentioned some of your friends in music, but you worked with Johnny Cash as well, and you were good friends with Johnny Cash.
Yes, all those guys.
And you recorded a duet together that's never been released, is
that
right?
Never been released, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why I haven't put it on anything. First of all, it's just not, it doesn't reflect what I do as a musician. Mm. I did one of his songs with him. And this was later on. He was... you know, wasn't singing like he used to, have as much breath and everything. So he did a recitation in the middle of the song. And I actually have a note written, story he wrote on notebook paper that's hanging in our studio about that day. And it was partly truth, partly fiction. He just wrote a little short story and put it on notebook paper about it. But when we were doing the song, we did I Still Miss Someone is the song we did. And he said, well, son, what do you want to do? I said, well, I thought, you know, I'll sing the first verse of bridge, and then you do the recitation. We'll come out of that, have a solo, and then I'll do the last verse of bridge. And he goes, all right. He goes, I might have an idea or two myself. After all, I wrote the melody. And I was like, yes, God, thank you very much. You know, I came up around all those guys, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and Christofferson and Cash. And Cash is the only one I never got over big nervous around.
Yeah.
Because every time his presence was so huge that you're always aware that you're around Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
And in the movie world, I mean, Robert Duvall is my mentor. Mm. But I got to the point where Duvall and I could just sit and talk to him and, you know, not think every minute, oh my God, that's Robert Duvall.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, with Johnny Cash as well, because he was quite an outlier in country in a way, wasn't he? He said what he thought. And
yes, he was, absolutely.
I never met him, obviously.
He was very rebellious. He was, yeah, Cash, I mean, there's a famous picture. I was friends with a photographer named Jim Marshall, who did a lot of the famous rock photography. And you know the famous picture of Cash giving the finger, right? Well, Jim took that picture. And But that's the way he was. If he was in a bad mood, he'd let you know. And but he was always very kind to me, he and Jude. And so, yeah, I've been close to a lot of the old-timers, which is, like, so precious to me. Yeah.
I think I'm right in saying you can't drink backstage at the Grand Ole Opry because of Johnny Cash. I think they went there when it was in the 60s or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Always,
yeah.
Always family.
I think people sneak one in every now and then.
You also, you recently featured in a Carter Faith video for her Star. Firstly, it's just, I've never seen someone just, you look so happy the whole time in that video. You're just in the bar. Just, but how did that come about?
Well, when I was going through the process of writing the songs for, with Kali for the soundtrack, this guy, Dave Cobb, who's the creative guy over at MCA, he said, when we started talking about the second soundtrack, he said, you know who you need to write with? He said, there's this girl named Carter Faith. And Kali and I wrote 7 songs with her and Jesse Joe Dillon over 2 days on a Friday and Saturday. She came to my house in Texas. I instantly loved this girl. She's amazing and very different than a lot of people. She's got her own thing. Yeah. And we wrote things, but she... The way we first knew each other, she called me. I told Dave, give her my number, and she gave me a call. She gives me a call, and she said, just so you know, my favorite movie is Daddy and Them, which is this little movie nobody ever saw. And I thought, she's 24, and she knows this movie. This girl's got something. And the next morning, she sent me a song, and it was called I Want a Man Like Billy Bob Thornton. And it's all over the internet. You can listen to it. And so I thought, well, you know, Tim McGraw had that song written about him by Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And so now I've got one by Carter Faith. And then Carter said, would you be in my video? And I said, absolutely. We went to a bar out there in Fort Worth and shot it one afternoon and had the best time.
It looks like it was real fun.
It was so much fun.
Billy Bob, thank you so much.
Thank
Congratulations
you.
On Landman Season 2.
And, thank
yeah,
you.
Hope to see you soon.
And it's so awesome to talk music with somebody.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.